Happy Thursday, Sunny.
Happy Thursday, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have a preview of Thursday's Women's World Cup football matches.
Kim, first round group action continues Thursday at the Women's World Cup football tournament in Canada. There are four fixtures scheduled. In the first match of the day, Germany plays Norway in Ottawa, Canada. The two-time world champion German women trounced Ivory Coast 10-0 in their opening game, while the Norwegians topped Thailand 4-0. In Thursday's second match, China challenges the Netherlands in the western Canadian city of Edmonton. The Chinese lost to host Canada 1-0 in their opening match in Edmonton, while the Dutch ladies defeated New Zealand by that same 1-0 scoreline. In another game in Ottawa, World Cup debutante Ivory Coast will try to bounce back from that big loss to the Germans when the African side takes on Thailand. And in Thursday's final match in Edmonton, host Canada goes for its second straight victory when it plays New Zealand. And speaking of New Zealand, the field for the quarterfinals at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup for men in New Zealand is now set after Thursday's action. Brazil, Portugal, Uzbekistan, and Germany all advanced to the last eight with victories Thursday. The Brazilian boys beat South American rival Uruguay 5-4 on penalty kicks after a scoreless draw during regulation and extra time. Portugal eliminated host New Zealand 2-1. Uzbekistan beat Austria 2-0. And European champion Germany ousted African champion Nigeria 1-0 in Christchurch, New Zealand, on a goal by Levin Ostenali in the 19th minute. Sam Audu is the media officer for the Flying Eagles of Nigeria. Our friend in Lagos, Shagun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi, called Sam in Christchurch and asked him what went wrong.
We lost the game, especially the first half. We didn't start early. We didn't start well. The Germans capitalized on our slow starts and could have even won the game hands down by the first half. Second half, we chased the game, and they were just too professional and too tactical for us. And then we were out. We are going to go home. We wanted to be the last team to go back home from New Zealand, but we are going home early.
Since reaching the quarterfinals of the tournament in 2011, Nigeria has not advanced beyond the round of 16 in subsequent tournaments, including the ongoing one in New Zealand. Is this an indication that the standard of play of our national under-20 team, the Flying Eagles, is going down?
You can't stick it like that. I think that we have to really do some investigations, find out what really is the problem, you know, because really we've done well in under 17. But then when it comes to under 20, we seem to struggle. We've qualified for the last 10 under 20 tournaments, so to speak, but we've not gone beyond the quarterfinals. So it's something to worry about, and I think it's something that we need to look at, you know, critically.
Now that the team is out of the ongoing tournament in New Zealand, what's next?
Well, it's down to the NFF to decide on what next to do with the team. But I know a lot of these players, most of them will go to the Olympic team, which is still in training camp. They have the All-Africa Games. They also have the qualifiers for the Rio Olympics. So most of those boys, I want to believe, will be drafted to the under-23 team.
That's Sam Audu, the media officer for Nigeria's national under-20 football team, nicknamed the Flying Eagles. And Sam spoke by telephone from Christchurch, New Zealand, with our friend in Lagos, Shagun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi.
Hi, I'm Shagun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
Just come out and play with me.
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. As I reported during Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports, FIFA has postponed the bidding process for the 2026 World Cup amid the bribery allegations engulfing world football's governing body. The United States had been seen as a front runner for hosting the competition. Henry Ridgewell reports from London on the latest corruption claims sending shockwaves through the football world.
While FIFA may be paralyzed by the allegations of corruption in the Russian city of Samara, construction continues on the 45,000-seat stadium scheduled to host some of the games of the 2018 World Cup. FIFA Secretary General Jerome Valcke toured the venue Tuesday amid accusations of bribery in the bids to host the 2018 and 2022 World Cups. FIFA announced the bidding process for the 2026 event would be postponed.
Due to the situation, I think it's a nonsense to start any bidding process for the time being.
FIFA's rotation policy means the 2026 World Cup is due to be held in the Americas, with the United States seen as a front-runner. Postponing the bidding process is logical, says Martin Lipton of Britain's Sun newspaper.
If there's going to be a change of venue for 2022, then the needs of rotation mean that you have to change the list of potential bidders for 2026.
Lipton says the tight timescale means it is unlikely the 2018 World Cup bidding process will be rerun, despite allegations of corruption. Russia's sports minister Vitaly Mutko rejected accusations of bribery. He said that Russia acted within regulations that existed at the time. If something did happen, he said, then it would have been revealed within 2 or 3 years. Qatar's hosting of the 2022 World Cup is less certain, says veteran football journalist Martin Lipton.
There's a huge demand from the European clubs and associations and leagues to move from a winter tournament back to the traditional summer tournament. The doubts about the probity of the voting process continue to be raised and strengthened. And I think it's moving towards a position where 2022 will eventually be moved.
Qatar's foreign minister Khalid bin Mohammed Al Attiyah denied the allegations of bribery and accused rival bidders of anti-Arab prejudice.
Some entities, some countries, they don't like to see an Arab state in the Middle East hosting a tournament as such for the Arab world.
Qatar is facing further criticism over the safety of workers on World Cup construction sites. The International Trade Union Confederation predicts that up to 4,000 migrants could die by tournament kickoff in 2022. Workers are also denied basic rights, says Mustafa Kadri of Amnesty International.
They're not free to choose their employer often, to change their employer, to leave the country when they want. To complain about their conditions can often result in them being detained by the police.
Qatar says it has hired labour inspectors and built new worker accommodations. But if the corruption allegations are proven, the huge construction projects could be a waste of money and human lives. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
This is Larry Zamude, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station, of course, with partner, the VOA. VOA! And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to sports radio, 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty. While Nigeria is now out of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in New Zealand, West African neighbors Mali and Senegal will be waving the African flag in Sunday's quarterfinals. The Malian boys beat Ghana Wednesday 3-0 in Wellington, New Zealand, while Senegal defeated Ukraine 3-1 on penalty kicks in Auckland, New Zealand. The Senegalese will now travel to Wellington, where they'll play Uzbekistan on Sunday. Mali, meanwhile, is matched against Germany in Christchurch. In the two other quarterfinals, Brazil will play Portugal in Hamilton, New Zealand, and the USA will face Serbia in Auckland. Neighbors Mali and Senegal are trying to become the second African team to lift the FIFA Under-20 trophy. The Black Satellites of Ghana won the title in 2009 in Egypt, where they beat Brazil on penalty kicks in the final. The National Basketball Association finals resume later Thursday night in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Golden State Warriors in Game 4 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. The Cavaliers, led by superstar LeBron James, lead the finals 2-1. LeBron has been sensational so far. He scored 123 points, the most ever, for the first three games of the NBA Finals. All three games have been close. The first two games went to overtime, with Golden State winning Game 1 and Cleveland Game 2. In Game 3, the Warriors trailed by 20 points in the second half, made a big rally, and pulled to within 1 point with 2 minutes and 45 seconds remaining before losing 96-91. I'm VOA Sonny Young.